Welcome to a burning fire. Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. The church of the Bible, the church of Christ, is the church where Christ is the very heart and soul and center. If we're going to be the New Testament church, we must be Christ-centered. And our emphasis, our theme, our burden, our message is to be Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now, we need to learn how to detect and to be a Christ-centered church. We ascertain that it is right and necessary that the church be centered on Christ for various reasons. As we have taught many times, He's the head of it. It's His body. He founded it. He's the foundation of it. He purchased it with His own blood. He reigns over it as King over His kingdom. He has all authority pertaining to it. Christ is the Savior of the church. Friend, without Christ, there wouldn't be any Church of Christ. We would be highly improper for the church to be centered or identified with anyone other than Jesus Christ. Now, there is no separation of Christ and His church. Some seem to think that if you emphasize the church, you're in some way detracting from Christ. That's absurd. They like to talk about churchanity and come up with that trite phrase, but that only shows the mark of a false teacher. The early evangelists, the apostles, they were guided by the Holy Spirit. They preached Christ and His church. It was not either or with them. The relationship between Christ and the church demands that both be preached. You can't preach the head without the body, the Savior without the saved, or the King was separated from His kingdom. Why should anyone want to attempt to do that? Beware, friend, of those who would try to separate Christ from the church. Now, the Lord's church is Christ-centered in word. The church is the pillar and the ground of the truth, 1 Timothy 3:15, and Jesus is the truth, John 14:6. And we preach Christ, Paul said to his Corinthian brethren. And again he said, "For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." Christ told His apostles to go and preach the gospel. Well, friend, if you preach the gospel, you're going to be preaching Christ. Philip preached Christ to the Samaritans and to the Ethiopian. He preached Christ and the kingdom. And whatever is revealed in Scripture concerning Christ, that which is related to Christ, and all the Scripture is centered on Christ, that's what is to be preached. That's what it is to be Christ-centered in the Word. He is the one to be glorified, praised, presented as the one to whom all people are directed. It's His will that is to be taught. And we're to proclaim Him as Lord. He's the Son of God. He's the Savior of men. He is the Anointed One, the Christ. Now, for those who call themselves preachers, who spend a lot of time preaching other things, why, that's an abuse of the pulpit. There are some, they talk about book reviews on secular books. They talk politics. They talk economics. I even heard one preacher one time try to give military advice to our generals. The biographies of people of the past that are not even related to Jesus Christ, that's not preaching Christ. That's not what the church is supposed to be proclaiming. The church is to proclaim the doctrine of Christ, by which it is simply meant the doctrine that Christ taught and authorized to be taught in His name. Paul said, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine." 2 John 9-11 is a passage that some had just seemingly removed from their Bibles. "Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine hath both the Father and the Son." Now listen to this. "If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds." Friend, to preach the doctrine of Christ, that's the work of the church, and a Christ-centered church will do that very thing. And as centering upon the Word, the church must uphold the work that Christ has authorized to be done. And there's always a danger that the church will major in minors and minor in majors. There are some churches that are getting away completely from the mission of the church, and they provide entertainment and recreation, and they build gymnasiums, and they promote secular education, and they have their little league ball games, and they're virtually invading and taking over the realm of the home, and they're nothing much more sometimes than just a poor man's country club. When the church fulfills its mission, it's going to be busy. But friend, a church can be busy and still not be involved in the Father's business. The primary work of the church is to glorify God and to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ throughout the world. The members are to live Christ-like lives, and there's a realm of benevolence to relieve the needy. And is also the church is to build itself up not just numerically, but more importantly, spiritually. One of the marks of digression historically has been for the church to become organically and financially involved in areas of activity for which there is no biblical authority. And when this happens, the divinely assigned work of the church lags, and many times completely eliminated. There was a church of which I am aware that could not help send a missionary to a mission point because they had overspent building their gymnasium. Dear friend, that is pathetic. That is not a Christ-centered church. They are not doing the things that the Lord has ordained for the church to do. But now listen to me. The church must show itself Christ-centered by the lives of its members. Now, the disciples are called Christians, Acts 11:26. And one who is a Christian, he's a baptized believer in Christ. He's following Christ. He's imitating Christ in his life. A Christian who strives to live like Christ, he's not going to conform to the evil things of this world. What the world sees about Christ sometimes is only that which is reflected in the lives of those who profess to be his disciples. And when there is not that distinction because of the godly living of the Christian, how can the church be called Christ-centered? A deadly, sinister relaxation and liberal permissiveness has gripped our world. Even the religious world, even in the realm of morals, even in the realm of ethics. The sinful world was once very much, sinfulness of the world was once very much opposed by religious people. But now, openly, among many churches, there's drinking of alcoholic beverages is accepted, lascivious dancing is conducted, adultery and immodesty. There is the laws contrary to the laws of God concerning marriage, divorce, and remarriage. Divorce. There are all kinds of things that are tolerated by some so-called Christians. Now, the love of this world, with its greed and prestige and pleasure and social standing and quest for power, is far too evident among many who profess to be children of God. Brethren and friends, this ought not so to be. To many people, it doesn't seem to matter what the church does, but it matters to the point that has been brought reproach upon the holy name of Christ. And there are some voices today that admonish the church to liberalize, or you're going to lose your members. And there are some churches, fearing the loss of members and fearing the loss of finances, why, they've relaxed their standard for truth. They've accommodated the worldly-minded. But, friend, that's not the way it's supposed to be. It would be an indication of a good spiritual health of the brethren to become alarmed and aroused when they hear teaching or note practices among them that are not Christ-centered, regardless of their source. it would be good if brethren would become disturbed when the doctrine of Christ, at whatever point in that doctrine, is defied and sin is openly condoned, especially in the ranks of the church that belongs to Christ. A Christ-centered church is one whose members conform to Christ in their manner of living. Now, to build and maintain a Christ-centered church in a sinful world, that is indeed a difficult task. There are so many pressures that come from without, and sometimes even pressures from within, to compromise, to depart from the truth, in order to escape the hardship, in order to get along with everybody, to be at peace. You see, there's developed this go-along-to-get-along attitude. That's engulfed the thinking of a lot of people, and some who were once sound in the faith. Well, these pressures are not likely to lessen in the days to come, as liberalism seems to be sweeping so many areas in education and in politics and just so many things. In all probability, the increase of society, of liberalism, it will become more arrogant and defiant and materialistic and self-willed, but we still must plead for a Christ-centered church to uphold the doctrine of Christ. You see, to do what God expects of us, it demands that we adhere to His pattern, the pattern in the New Testament. Now, I know that there are some today who ridicule and denounce what they call pattern theology. Well, friend, the church is patterned after the way God has directed it. It's still what God demands. I don't care what you call it. A Christ-centered church is not made one by beautiful buildings or large numbers or big contributions or just many activities. It's certainly not made Christ-centered by acceptance by a sinful community, a membership composed of maybe the wealthy or the prominent, or promoted by a namby-pamby messenger of surrender and compromise. That's not a Christ-centered church. Only by strict adherence and allegiance to "Thus saith the Lord" can there be a Christ-centered church. And it's the task of every Christian to see that the church stays and is just that way. You see, the church is composed of people who've been washed clean of their sins by the blood of Jesus Christ when they believed and obeyed the gospel, being baptized into Christ for the remission of sins. God adding those who are saved to the church. That's what the church is. The church is composed of those who have been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. Is it not reasonable, therefore, that the church center itself on Christ? He's the Savior of it. He built it. He's the foundation of it. When He comes again, that's who He's going to take to heaven with Him. The church depends on Christ, and Christ must be the very core of everything that pertains to the church. Its word, its work, the manner of life that people live. Friend, the way the church presents itself to the world depends upon how those who are members of it present themselves to the world. Do we present ourselves as those who are truly dedicated and devoted to walking in the footsteps of Jesus Christ? That's a Christ-centered church, and that's the only way the church is supposed to be. That's the only way the church can be approved of God. And my dear listening friend, hear me now. You need to be a member of a Christ-centered church, not one with all the frivolities of the world, but all of the things that the Lord has taught man to be and to do. You need to obey the gospel. You need to believe in Jesus as the Christ and repent of your sins and confess your faith and be baptized into Christ when you are baptized into the body, which is the church. And you must lend yourself in your life to conducting a Christ-centered church. That's what God wants out of you. Well, we're glad that you've listened to A Burning Fire today, and until next time.